all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Good morning and welcome to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM from the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Holkameenam and Squamish speaking peoples. This is Intravenous, and I am one of the hosts today. I'm Robin, and I'm joined in studio by
Xenia
and Rebecca.
And we have planned quite the conversation, I think, today. On Monday, which was the 25th, we kicked off, which seems like kind of a peculiar way to frame this, but the 25th of November kicks off the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and it's an international campaign for the elimination of violence against women and those folks who are more fluid in their genders. And we're going to just dig into what that looks like and what that means and how we can be more active and a part of the solution. Before we get into the discussion, we're going to hear from Erica Colness with a song called Black Swan. This was written in particular experience of domestic violence, and here you go.
Blues the water.
it'll cut you to your
Erica Colness with Black Swan there on Intravenous. As I mentioned at the sort of introduction to the program, we're going to focus today on the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and it all that name always kind of hooks me up because it's so long. But this year is I don't want to say this year is kind of important, because every year that it happens, it's an important one. And the UN Secretary General of the UNITE campaign wants to draw attention to the alarming escalation of violence against women under the theme, "Every 10 minutes a woman is killed, hashtag no excuse, unite to end violence against women." And I was just reading earlier that in 2022, it was the highest number of women killed in over two decades from gender-based violence, and that number was 89,000. And last year, that number increased. So for 2023, that number increased. And it's probably in the report that was just released on femicides in 2023, global estimates of female intimate partner family member homicides, which I don't have a copy of in front of me, but regardless, those are terrible and shocking numbers. And when we think about what it means, I guess, to, you know, experience that culmination of violence, you know, like to ultimately end up murdered by your spouse or your partner or, you know, someone that you intimately know, there's an escalation of violence that has occurred. It's probably not just I'm mad at you and, you know, therefore I'm going to do XYZ. It's a process or a progression of various kinds of violence, various sorts of violence that can look anything like physical or emotional forms. It can include things as, and again, I don't want to say as simple as, but as simple as name calling and hitting, punching, blocking, stalking, criminal harassment, rape, sexual assault, control, and manipulation. And you know, even within those, I think there's a particular nuance to each of those actions that we as the experiencer, the victim of what those are, you know, might give a little bit more definition to, or, you know, describe them in different ways, but it's pretty encompassing is my point.
Yeah, I mean, I think one, like, very key thing about the 16 Days of Activism is giving awareness to that definition and sort of educating that it's not just physical violence, which is what you would assume. It's everything around the physical violence. And like you said, it's a progression. It's not just a one time you were mad and you did something. It's a progressive thing that happens. And I find it really interesting that the numbers are increasing from like the past 2 years when we're post COVID. And I think that's definitely something that should be looked into, is that did COVID create an environment that sort of let the violence kind of foster and bring about, since we were all kept in our homes, kept with people, you had no kind of escape if you were just starting out to experience violence and you didn't even realize that you were experiencing domestic abuse. Say your partner name called you one time and it's in the pandemic, and then it just built up because you're locked together, basically. There's no way of getting out of it. And I don't actually know what the statistics are during COVID, and I think it would be interesting to find out if it was increasing throughout COVID or has only been increasing as a aftermath of COVID in the deaths. But I think that theme that the campaign is running on this year with the every 10 minutes, it's such a shocking statistic to know that throughout this episode, 6 women are going to have died. Just throughout this episode with that statistic. And it's so shocking to think that that's happening. And most people probably would have no idea to think about the statistic or think like that. They'd think, oh, it happened maybe like one a day or maybe something like that. But not that like every 10 minutes. It's very, very, I don't even have a word to describe it. Every word doesn't seem to have the big enough impact,
right,
on what it feels.
Senia, you're new to Intravenous and sort of joining us where we're throwing you into the mix of conversation. Mm-hmm. I know that this idea is quite a passionate thing for you. As a criminology student, do you have some thoughts about what this means, or you know, how it's landing?
I think it's a pretty serious issue. Like, for example, with the whole election in the United States that happened, there has been an increasing threat of sexual violence towards women in America. And we are noticing this movement called the 4B movement, which is kind of like where women are rejecting men altogether, basically. They're like saying that they're not going to date, they're not going to go like do anything because of this threat that is currently arising, especially during Trump's election, because we've seen like a rise of sexual assault threats towards women.
I think I read about this, about women sort of boycotting everything to do with it,
yeah,
in relation with abortion and stuff.
Yes,
as well.
Abortion too, because, you know, it's kind of ridiculous that they're wanting to ban abortion because, you know, they want to control their bodies and tell women what they should and shouldn't do with it, mm-hmm. which is, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like, if I can't get an abortion, why would I put myself in the position that could potentially put me in a scenario where I might need one? So may as well just boycott it if you voted for that policy.
And also, the women who voted for Trump is also kind of a question to me personally, like, why?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that sense of unity that's happening in the States because of the election fits really well with what the 16 days is looking at versus, like, in their theme. And I know, I'm not sure if it's the 16 days theme globally or if it's just in Canada, but they have a phrase of come together, act now, along with the hashtag no excuses slogan, which we briefly spoke about last week. And I was looking at how that kind of relates to the 16 days, and I found something interesting about how they say the 16 days is an opportunity to revitalize commitments, call for accountability and action from decision makers. And I think that theme of come together, act now perfectly encompasses that, as well as what's going on in the US where mm-hmm. women are banding together, they are uniting and they're calling for change and being like, we're not just going to sit by and let you take away all of our rights to our body autonomy and just like sit back and go back to 1950s where we were all objects of possession to men.
No,
like, we're not just going to sit here and let it happen. And I think the hashtag no excuses, just, I said it last week, I was like, it perfectly just fits together with that theme of summing up how women are feeling and uniting women globally.
And another thing I would like to add is that, like, it's not really just in the States, it's in any country, really. Like, if you look at Afghanistan, women there are being banned from speaking. Like, literally, they're not allowed to speak because their voices might tempt men, which is ridiculous. It's absurd that this is happening in the 21st century. And in other countries where domestic violence is just, like, normalized and the police just doesn't do anything about it, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say that it's all well and fine that we're calling for policy change in, you know, come together, act now. But, you know, as you know, we've talked about how if we're creating policy based on the lens of a society that still supports a patriarchal structure, which is, you know, kind of bedrocked on a lot of rape culture, then we're not creating policy that actually keeps women and girls and non-binary, gender fluid people safe, you know, because there's this rhetoric in the underlying that even though it's written into policy, that belief system and that value system of where you see and clarify where the value is in humanity still is in question or brought into question. And so I'm all supportive of this, you know, come together, act now. But holy smokes, there's always been a point where change never happens from the top down. Mm. You know, it does happen in this grassroots way, mm-hmm. where women are banding together and saying, like, enough is enough. We're going to, you know, hide in back corners and we're going to, you know, stew up some kind of a plan and hopefully turn this big yacht around in order to create safety for our mothers and daughters and sisters and you know, fellow folks that are experiencing gender-based violence. Because it is not just women, although they are the more likely to experience gender-based violence. It's certainly not as simple as that, but you can rest assured that 89,000 men weren't killed by their intimate female partner or wife in 2022 in the same way, right? And so that's where we see the problems is just the inequity in terms of violence, and there shouldn't be any. Like, let's face it. No excuse. There should not be any. Mm-hmm. Just nods all around. Nods all around here in the station.
No, but another thing I guess I would say is that, like, this isn't really new. Like, violence against women has been happening, like, a long time. Like, for example, with the incel movements, if you guys heard about incels, they're probably some of the most violent people who are mostly men who really blame women for, I guess, their reason of not getting, like, a partner, and they result to violence, and which does come towards women with violence, really, if just wanted to kind of add on this because they also exist and it's also a huge problem.
So they blame women that they don't have a partner.
They blame women because they are frustrated.
Right.
And there has been notable examples of incels who are mostly men going on a rampage and murder sprees, killing people, primarily women, because of that.
I'm just trying to understand
the rationale?
Yeah, of blaming women for not them not having a partner.
Yeah. Unfortunately, and they exist in like these really weird like forums where they kind of like communicate and help out each other out and kind of like band together to say like, yeah, you know, it's the women's fault that we can't get them or something like that, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was learning about the Montreal massacre, because I had never heard of it until we first started talking about the 16 days of activism.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it to me, and how the guy that went in and killed all those students did it because he blamed them for him not getting an entry into an engineering program.
Right.
And I was like thinking like, yes, these 14 women sat here are at fault. Clearly, it really makes sense. And that just reminds me of that. I was just thinking, I don't understand.
But it's about entitlement.
Yeah.
Right? Those two examples, the one that you gave Senia and Rebecca, it's mm-hmm. it comes back to this idea of entitlement.
And ego.
Which is entitlement.
Yeah, they have a high ego too, honestly. Yeah.
And what you feel like you can get away with because there is this this justification almost that you can make within the cultural zeitgeist that allows for this kind of behavior to be perpetuated and perpetrated, that it sure goes questioned in some corners, but it also really goes unquestioned in a lot more corners, obviously. And I think that maybe this is a good time to take a bit of a song break. And then we're going to come back and talk, I think, a little bit about the white ribbon. Because, you know, men taking accountability for their actions and, you know, sort of helping women turn this big ship around is definitely one of the requirements. I think we can't just be, we need allies, right? Mm-hmm. As any movement does. And so I thought that we would have a listen to this song by First Aid Kit, which is "You Are the Problem Here."
Ironic. I mean,
funny but not funny, right? Yeah. Anyways, enjoy the First Aid Kit here on Intravenous.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to Intravenous here on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM from the top of Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University. I'm Robin.
I'm Xenia.
And I'm Rebecca.
And if you're just joining us, we're in the midst of a discussion about the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. It is a 10-day period that begins on November the 25th, which was Monday, and it goes up until the 5th of December, which is the memorial for the Montreal Massacre, and has post that day become known as the Day for Elimination of Violence Against Women. And before the break, we were just talking a little bit about accountability and, you know, allyship, and how there's a movement for men to become allies, and a real sort of push within their own gender to support anti-violence and anti-violence against women and girls.
Yeah, I only discovered it last month, actually, because I still have newsletters coming in from my university back home, and there was a topic about the White Ribbon Day and men against violence, and I was kind of curious, so I went on a deep dive on Google, thinking, is this a UK thing? Is this a global thing or what? But it is. It's a global symbol that is associated with gender-based violence now. So it's about wearing a white ribbon badge shows your commitment to ending violence against women and girls. And specifically, it says that it symbolizes men giving up their arms and opposing violence against women, is what is quoted on their website. And I thought it was quite interesting.